Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. I've got a great program lined up for you. Bottom of hour number three, Reverend Clenard Childress Jr. is with us. BlackGenocide.org. He's been running that site, running that ministry for years and years. When will the babies matter? When's that actually going to make a difference? And all these activists running around out there talking about black life and racism and so on, the biggest racism happens right in the black neighborhoods, and it happens at conception, because the most dangerous place for a black American to be is in the womb of a black woman. That's just, somebody needs to wake up and pay attention to what's going on here. That's why it's called Black Genocide. We'll have censorship coming up for you. And the What kind of coverage are we seeing regarding Elon Musk and X? What might that turn into? We'll talk about that with Michael Morrison, Media Research Center. Claire Lopez is with us. We'll be talking about what's happening with our border, human trafficking, open borders. What does that mean? And also get her to weigh in on the recent Russian bombing of Odessa, which caused some damage to the Chinese embassy there. What does that do to relations between China and Russia? We'll talk about that coming up. Top of the next hour also, Melanie Collette will be with me. Money crashes, bubbles, oh my. We'll talk about that coming up, top of the next hour. But joining me now, as he does each and every Wednesday, and we get into our conversations about, well, you know, so this dusty old document called the Constitution. They don't even teach that in school anymore. True, and David will vouch for this. They don't even teach that in law school anymore.
No, they don't.
Yeah. I mean, you sit here. I was looking for my. Here it is. My Black's Law Dictionary. Okay, but the Black's Law Dictionary, right? Contextually has direct links to our Constitution, does it not?
Well, if that's not a rhetorical question, you're actually correct.
Good morning. Okay. Good morning, David. I love it.
You know, because Mr. Black was a legal scholar in the 18th century in England. And had summarized a good chunk of the law, and was a big source for the both the drafters of the Constitution and the early judiciary, because of course America hadn't developed its own strain of the law, in which case they relied on English common law. And one of the big sources, or one of the big experts on that, was Mr. Black. And so he was the go-to guy for a law definition of the law. And so it was a Black's Law Dictionary in the 18th century was utilized for judicial decisions and the drafting of the Constitution. So there's obviously a direct link. It would be so cool if people would pay attention to that, but they don't pay attention to much. And there's a lot of lawless things going on. So, but it's nevertheless good to see you on Wednesday. We've got a couple of things going on. Actually, Tuesday, just yesterday, I filed my what they call notice of appeal on my one election case in Will County, Illinois. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be filing what they call a docketing statement, which will put that case officially, and the issues in the case officially, before the appellate court here in Illinois. And so after that's done on August the 8th, we should be together on August the 9th, and we'll talk in a bit detail of the law situation and procedure and how judges these days are trying to shut people out of the courts when they try and utilize the courts to actually challenge election matters. There's that going on, and by that time we'll also have this amendment issue in Illinois that's also in court and I'm involved in, and where they've said they amended the Illinois Constitution, but the actual language of the amendment was not on the ballot for the citizens of the state of Illinois. And so I have no idea how we were supposed to have amended the Constitution. People talk about rigged elections and elections that are stolen. As far as I'm concerned, if you don't have the actual verbiage of a referendum or an amendment on the ballot that people are voting on, it's a fake election. And so there's a lot of ways that people are dealing with stuff, and people have to keep an eye out for things.
Let me kind of jump in on that on the election side of that, since we're talking about that initially to start off. 16 Republicans were indicted on felony charges by the Michigan Attorney General over alleged scheme to overturn the 2020 election. I would love your commentary, your thoughts with regards to what the Michigan DA is or the Michigan Attorney General is doing here.
The Michigan Attorney General is following the Jack Smith playbook by taking perfectly legal activity and calling it illegal. It is perfectly legal to challenge an election. It is perfectly legal to investigate election fraud. It's perfectly legal to talk to people about it, to, in fact, say that you disagree. So it's an infringement on the First Amendment. It's an infringement on a variety of things. But that's the same thing, kind of thing that Jack Smith is done in first instance with the documents case, and in second matter, they say that there's supposed to be an indictment of the President Trump,
right,
regarding his activities post election in 2020. None of that stuff is illegal, and in fact, a long time ago, I wrote a line in a post on my website that says basically election is not done until the last judicial decision regarding that election is completed. And so, you know, the idea where they say overturning the election, it's not official until it's certified. It's not official until all the litigation is complete. So, you know, nobody was trying to do anything to overturn anything. What they were trying to do is get to the truth of what the actual outcome of the election was.
So the question, though, is the Michigan AG has made these charges now.
Yes.
And what becomes is this a case potentially that you know could be appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court? I'm assuming in Michigan, I know Michigan's kind of a toss-up, right, with regards to the political leaning. Certainly, we've seen a lot of activity there by patriots saying, hey, we're not down with what the governor here is doing. We don't agree with lockdowns. We don't agree with mandatory vaccines. We do believe that our elections were tainted. These 16 individuals didn't just act autonomously. They acted based on a lot of work that was done by their constituents who came to them with evidence and said, hey, there's been a problem here. Something wrong happened, and we don't believe that the results that are being certified by the machine are valid.
That's exactly right, and that's what they were trying to do. What they're in the process of attempting to do was, in fact, investigate whether or not the actual election in Michigan was legitimate. And now they are punishing or attempting to criminalize activity that is perfectly legal. Not only legal, I would suggest is protected by the Constitution. And so, it would have the potential to go to the United States Supreme Court, but I suspect it only goes there if, in fact, these folks are convicted of what they're being accused of, and that is, you know, meddling or an effort to overturn an election is not an. I hate using people's language. I hate using the language of the left.
Sure,
it's not an effort to overturn the election. It's an effort to arrive at the actual real result that expresses the will of the people, and that's what the effort is. All this stuff where anytime anybody says overturn the election, That's not correct. You know, there was a real result of the election,
right?
Whenever it took place, but to discover it and make sure that real result of the election is the one that ultimately prevails is what the what election contests in court are about.
Well, it's interesting if I might just add this to the narrative as well. You have Stacey Abrams in Georgia, who never accepted that the Republican, what is his name? The Georgia governor? I can't remember his name.
Brian Kemp.
Brian Kemp. She never accepted that Brian Kemp won, ever.
Right.
For the entire, whatever it is, 2 or 4 years that
it was
he.
40, yeah, that yeah. Was 4 years gone.
For the entire 4 years, she never accepted it. And in fact, in some circles, she claimed that she was the governor of Georgia. Right. But she was not being allowed to serve her term. I mean, that was the kind of language that she used, and she rallied leadership within the Democratic Party around that. Commentators around the country who made those kinds of statements. Should the AG in Georgia have be bringing criminal charges against Stacey Abrams and her crew?
Of course not. Stacey Abrams and her crew were exercising their First Amendment right to express what they believe was the actual truth. I presume she believed it was the actual truth. Even if she didn't believe it was the actual truth, she's utilizing it for a political purpose to try and convince people of the rightness of her cause. That's still First Amendment protected activity. You know, there's systems that challenge it. They challenged it. They didn't win the challenges. And I don't know how far she went with her challenges, but those, as far as I know, her challenges did get a hearing in a courtroom. That's substantively different than so many of the, where they say Trump lost 60, 70 cases on election matters. And for the most part, to my knowledge, actually, none of the judges actually heard evidence. They dismissed these cases without hearing actual evidence. And that's to some degree at the heart of one of the cases I'm involved in here. It's not a presidential case, but it's a similar issue. And there's something in the First Amendment, of course, the last right in the First Amendment is the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. Well, part of that right has been interpreted to mean access to the courts. And when a judge dismisses cases without hearing evidence, I suggest that that is, in fact, a denial of your First Amendment right to have access to the court. Because if you don't have the opportunity to present anything that is actual evidence, then you've actually been denied your First Amendment access to the courts. This is a huge problem across the country with judges willy-nilly throwing out cases. And it's not just these election matters. Judges are wielding tremendous powers in trying to impose sanctions on lawyers for bringing novel and interesting causes again to the courts. They throw them out before they hear the novel and interesting case. And this would be like this whole Plessy versus Ferguson that had separate but equal in the built into the Constitution and that wound up being Brown versus Board of Education some 50 odd years later. Those are kind of cases that were novel in the courtroom when they happened, but then they became the law. And they don't become the law if a judge decides, I'm not going to hear it. And then everybody agrees with them. So this is a problem with these election matters. Because then there's not a fair airing of the issues, but they don't want the issues. And like I said, the one case I have, the matter is actually they're trying to keep the guys from testifying,
right?
Because you know, and the judge is going along with keeping them from testifying. But more about that in a couple of weeks.
All right, so one of the cases that is that's up, and we'll take a quick break and come back and talk about this. But one of the cases that's up is the Chevron Doctrine.
Yes,
and so my understanding is that they're going to be hearing the arguments related to, they've taken up this case, and they're going to be hearing the arguments related to whether or not the Chevron Doctrine should remain in effect. And I'd like to get into that and the implications of that, because so many of us that are paying attention and watching what's going on have been saying for many, many years now, the, you know, one of the biggest problems we've got is this administrative state that is able to go after Americans and throw away their constitutional rights by interpreting the law that they make or their own regulations within their own court system and bankrupting Americans along the way.
Yeah, we're this is it. We'll talk about that Chevron doctrine when we come back. And certainly when we come back, I think we need to talk about this clown show that is Hunter Biden's defense.
Absolutely. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about what Hunter Biden's defense did. And then there was one other one that you kind of touched on it, but if we have time, we'll also circle back around and talk a little bit more about some of these other Trump indictments. And I had a conversation yesterday with someone that was saying, well, you know, what happens if they do convict him? What happens if they do make him a felon? And I said, well, the Constitution does not say that a felon can't run for president.
Right.
So it does not disqualify him. And we read on air that constitutional article. But I'd love to kind of get your thoughts with regards to how you think that may or may not impact the election and what they're trying to accomplish. And goodness gracious, could they possibly even go so far as to try to throw him in prison? That would be... That could be the beginning of some big trouble.
Could be very large trouble.
Yeah. All right. Let's take our break. We'll be back. More Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And my special guest, David Shostokas, constitutional originalist. And we're here each and every Wednesday during this time to talk about these constitutional issues through a constitutional lens. And I encourage you to get over to David's site, Shostokas.com, pick up the Declaration of Independence, the explanation of it, and understanding how it connects to the Constitution, and then also his book about constitutional soundbites, which also breaks down and helps us to better understand it. And you know, one of the biggest issues to understand, folks, is that the Constitution and our government, our form of government, was created solely to defend the rights of the people. And David, that's, you know, one of the things when we talk about this Chevron doctrine, if there's ever been a long-term encroachment on the rights of individuals, a puddle in your backyard, you know, the air that you breathe walking out your back door, grazing land, the government gobbling up grazing land that's been being used by ranchers for hundreds of years. It just goes on and on and on. And every bit of this was sanctioned, approved, run through these kangaroo courts.
Yeah, just for background on that situation is when the administrative agencies have been given the authority to promulgate what they call regulations, and the regulations go into the Federal Register, and then after a certain period of time, they become a regulation for that agency, and the regulations are considered to have full force and effect of a law. And then the agency, under the Chevron doctrine, interprets what the law is, not only the law that the agency put together by virtue of a regulation, but also the law as passed by Congress. And so they get to interpret that, and then they enforce the law, and then they decide if somebody has in fact violated the law. So we are one of the strong points of our government was, in fact, the separation of powers, so that you did not have power all consolidated where somebody would make the law, enforce the law, and then decide the law. That's why we have three branches of government. Yeah. But in this scheme for administrative agencies, the agencies have the authority to do all three functions of what executive, legislative, and judicial. And what Chevron did was ensconce that in Supreme Court jurisprudence that said the agency who has been affected by a law passed by Congress is the one that gets to interpret, that the courts will defer to the interpretation of the law as made by the agencies. And, of course, since Marbury versus Madison, when Justice Marshall wrote one of the more famous lines in American jurisprudence, it is the duty of the courts to say what the law is, that the Chevron doctrine flies in the face of the actual construction of the Constitution. And so there's been some chipping away recently with a couple of Supreme Court cases, but there's one that's going to be coming up for argument apparently in the fall. where the court will have the opportunity to do away with the Chevron doctrine and take back the authority of the courts that has, in fact, been abdicated. This is it.
For almost 40 years. So for a large section of the audience of America, quite frankly, this has been the law of the land all of your lives. You haven't known an America that didn't have this doctrine percolating and working in the background, essentially controlling your life.
That's exactly right. You mentioned before the break, you mentioned something about a puddle in your backyard. That's when the EPA declared that these little puddles and other kinds of things where there's a collection of water, they declared that to be something called the waters of the United States.
Yep.
And that gave them the authority to regulate the puddle in your backyard. And that was the agency's interpretation of their command from Congress. And it stood, because of the Chevron doctrine. A lot of silly things like that get to stand because of the Chevron doctrine, rather than going to court and having an actual judge decide. And that's that's among the other problems for us generally, is where the courts have abdicated their constitutional duties and authorities is what gets us into trouble. And then that's like when the Congress says, the president wants to do things and he's going to put troops in harm's way, but we're not going to bother to declare war. Congress has abdicated its authority. The courts have abdicated their authority, and we wind up with a president that thinks he can get rid of student loan debt all on his own,
right?
Because he's a dictator, because the courts won't mess with him and the Congress won't either.
Well, the Senate, and quite honestly, one could argue that the Senate has abdicated its role, and that actually happened when they passed the 17th Amendment, because the role of the Senate was originally to defend the rights of the state. And that's why it was state legislatures that determined who the senator was going to be, so they couldn't be bought off by corporate interests and national interests, but they would actually defend the powers of the state, but the rights of the state, which is encompassed by the rights of the people of that state. Everything was designed to bring things down to a local level. So you had congressional members elected by constituents in districts, and that's really quite ridiculous now, because there's no way that most congressional members can actually represent the interests of their districts, because their districts are filled with too many people.
Well, now the districts are about almost 800,000 on average, or maybe just a tad over 800,000 on average. They were in the neighborhood of 40,000 when the Constitution was adopted. There was a pending potential amendment that actually is still pending, introduced in 1789, to make that 40,000 figure a permanent figure, at which point, at the moment, we might have 8,000 or 9,000 representatives. And frankly, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that, because at the moment, then, when you have 800,000 constituents, who do you represent? You represent the people that give you the money to communicate with those 800,000 people. Yeah. And so you don't actually represent them. You represent the donors. If in fact the districts were 40, 50,000 of that, maybe 20, 25,000 people would vote, then you literally could win an election going door to door and shaking hands,
right,
and telling people who you are. Right. And that would take the big money out of the House of Representatives. And so this is a thing to do. So we'll and that started with the 17th Amendment. The Chevron Doctrine was another place where the courts gave away their authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at some important stuff.
Well, and then the other
in terms of making us have
right.
live by what the principles of the Constitution.
Well, true, which is real liberty and real freedom. The other piece that has not, you know, I guess the second, what do they say that the second shoe hasn't fallen yet, but that is what happened with the substantive due process decision that came through cycle before last. And there are cases that are now, you know, headed back up to the Supreme Court that since the substantive due process has been overturned and a determination made to set it aside, there are some cases that are coming up that may well have some dramatic impacts again on a, you know, a nation that right now our soul is certainly, I believe, severely vexed.
Yeah, nobody actually knows what substantive due process is, Greg. You know, even when I was in law school, I hate to say how long ago, the only thing you needed to know about substantive due process is what the professor believed it to be. Because nobody really knows exactly what it is. So,
but according to Clarence Thomas, the concept of it is, if I'm, hang on a minute, let me find that file. The concept of it was that it instituted a right that didn't exist.
Yeah,
essentially, it created rights out of thin air.
Relative due process is actually a procedural matter. It says that if you have a grievance or you've been harmed or the people have been harmed, there's a process to resolve that. That's what process is, right? Substance is actual law that has to do with an actual, that defines what an offense is, that defines how somebody is supposed to conduct themselves in conformity to the law. So to say substantive due process, it's an utter oxymoron all by itself, because there's two different aspects of law that theoretically it combines. But again, All you need to know on a law school exam is what the professor believed. You didn't need what the law was, because nobody knows.
Which is why Clarence Thomas's dissent was saying that it was essentially creating law out of thin air.
Right.
But by merging those two things together, you're creating something, and it gives you the ability to throw whatever you want in the pot and pull out whatever you want, and then call it whatever you want to call it, and say, well, it's substantive due process, so now it's the law. Except that it never existed before. It's magic. It's just made up nonsense. And Clarence Thomas said, we can't have jurisprudence predicated on magical nonsense, so we are voting to end this. We're going to end this ridiculousness, which was what Roe v. Wade wrote. Roe v. Wade, and he noted in there that Obergefell was the same thing. There's nothing in the Constitution that grants anyone the right to marriage of any sort.
Well, strangely enough, in terms of the Tenth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment actually provides that the states should have authority over matters that are not given to the federal government in the Constitution. And so the state, and so historically, family matters, there's the Constitution does not give the federal government any authority to regulate family questions. So issues both like abortion and the definition of marriage actually properly belong to the states pursuant to the 10th Amendment.
And which is the defense of the rights of the people in that state, and so it's the right of the people in the state to decide how they want their constitution and what kind of state they want to live in. And that's and so you had 32 states that had passed constitutional amendments making marriage, as an example, between a man and a woman, and that was constitutional and just. You had other states that didn't. Those that didn't want to live under those constitutional constrictions had the right and the ability to move to a state that fell in alignment with their belief.
Or they had the continuing right to work to change the laws of the state in which they live, which was a right that was taken away, literally taken away from folks that were pro-life with the adoption of Roe. Actually, that they took away rights that existed when that happened. And so this becomes problematic. The substantive due process and Chevron are both infringements upon the distribution of authority and distribution of power between the branches of the federal government and between the states and the federal government. There was a careful balance that was put together. And these things, the 17th Amendment destroyed that, and then the Chevron Doctrine destroyed more of it by allowing this fourth branch of government, if you will, to have in the administrative state with the alphabet soup of agencies by consolidating the three elements of government, executive, judicial, and legislative, in one entity. That was their definition of tyranny. Right. You know, that was the definition of tyranny in terms of you can't have the, you got a king, that gives you a king, and this we're not supposed to have those here.
Yeah, yeah. The idea is that we don't have a king, supposedly. However, it's interesting
somebody
because
has to tell Joe.
Well, but the irony behind that, David, is that for the left, the idea of their king doing whatever he wants to do is perfectly fine, but then they scream and holler when the other guy is doing something that's Donald Trump's decisions were always based on what is the Constitution allow, and what does it not allow. And in many instances, he frustrated conservatives and grassroots people because he was like, no, I am not going to do what they do. I am not going to institute executive powers where they should not be. I am going to say to Congress, do your job. Do your job and present me with something that I can sign that follows the will of the people. And, you know, they get mad at him on some cases where he, you know, signed certain some things, and they say, well, he compromised this or he compromised that. Folks, what he did is he said to Congress, do your job and send me something that the people want.
It conforms to the Constitution,
all. And the Congress sent him what they sent him, and his response was, okay, this is what you want me to sign. This is what you want, and you believe this is what your constituents want. Now, he signed it, but see, here's the issue. Everybody looked at him and said, oh, you're the bad guy. No, he wasn't the bad guy. The bad guys were the guys that you elected directly that are out of your district that we just earlier just talked about. Those are the bad guys. Your congressional member is your bad guy. Your senator is your bad guy because they're the ones that presented the bill that President Trump had sitting on his desk. And after having gone through all the negotiations and telling them, I don't want to sign this. No, take it back. I'm not going to sign this. Take it back. They came to him and said, well, we're not going any further. We're at an impasse. You can veto it if you want, but it's not going to do you any good because we're just going to overturn your veto.
Yeah, well, and of course that's a constitutional process, but it doesn't mean that the end result is a constitutional law.
No, I understand, but my point to all of us is that the constitutional republic, which we are supposed to be living under, the whole idea of it is to give and hold the people and give them the rights and ultimately truly allow them then to give the power, but only to do what protects the rights of the people. Period.
That's the single thing that the government was established for.
And we'll wrap up this the issue of the Chevron doctrine just by saying, and so when the administrative state is in charge, is in power, then the constitutional rights of we the people are nullified.
Yeah.
They're nullified. There you have it. And that's why that case is so critically important.
That is why. I'm going to tell you, although we're in this post-constitutional, post-modern era from the legal standpoint, we're also dependent on electronics. And while I've been talking, I've gotten about four text messages and two phone calls because yesterday the computers that two different agencies that I work with that help assign court cases that I cover for them. The computers were down yesterday, and now they're all trying to get a hold of me to say, "Oh, we've got more stuff we want you to do today." So I'm going to wind up having to answer some of these to make sure that I get to court in the right circumstances today. And we'll see. Hopefully there's still some judges out there that believe in the rule of law.
Wouldn't that be nice? All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Hunter Biden and that situation. I want to share this next message with you. This has to do with your health and how and I just want to again encourage you. Your health is so important. How you take care of your body. I see people posting all the time about health concerns, and please pray for health, and please, folks, there are things that you can do. There are things that I have been doing that have led to me having blood work that's an A+. And I want to share those things with you, and here's how you can tap into it. And I use my mom as a perfect example. My mom had horrific swelling in her legs, She started on the Vibe product that's on the shelf behind me that I take every single day that I'll be taking here in about 2 hours, again, my second dose of it. And all of her swelling is gone, gone. She's in her mid-80s, and she feels better than she's felt in years. All right. I will be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. and it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Be good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now, there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now, we go over here, and we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. And we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies, superfood liquid multivitamin. You click on that. And you're going to order, I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio, and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months' worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it, nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultra Shot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use this is your apple cider vinegar. And this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. I'm going to run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultra Shot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My special guest, David Shostokas. All right, we're a little pressed on this, but we're going to get right into it. And that is this issue related to Hunter Biden and now his attorneys, according to news reports, have reached in and basically communicated with the judge's office. Is that who they spoke with? The
my understanding is that the attorneys for Mr. Biden, Hunter, communicated with the clerk of the court where Hunter's plea deal is supposed to be accepted or supposed to be in front of the judge today. He's supposed to be doing his plea of guilty, and then the judge is supposed to be giving him the sentencing that includes a period of probation, no jail time on a couple of misdemeanors and a felony. And so he's got apparently the deal of the century. And, of course, for those folks that watched any of the whistleblowers, the IRS investigators last week on when they testified before Congress, they went through all the details of how it was that they were shut down and that the investigation for Hunter did not follow the normal channels, and that they had recommended many, many more charges on other areas, and had been agreed to by the prosecutors. And so transcripts from those hearings were filed with the judge, with the court, by a member of Congress, member of the committee, from my understanding, as what they call an amicus brief, that is a friend of the court, to bring to the court's attention information that somebody who's not a party to a case believes that the court should know before they make a decision.
Okay.
And so a member of Congress had filed this amicus brief, and my understanding is somebody from Hunter Biden's legal team called the courthouse, called the clerk's office, and said, "Oops, I'm with the member of Congress that filed that, and we didn't mean to do that. Please withdraw it and see to it that it's not part and parcel of the court file." From what I understand, that the clerk that got that phone call went directly to the judge with that information, and it was soon thereafter determined that it was a member of Hunter Biden's legal team impersonating somebody else, saying that they wanted to alter the court file. And by 9 o'clock last night, Hunter's lawyers were supposed to have filed with the court an explanation of what happened. I will be really surprised if today the actual plea deal goes forward. It may, but I would be very, very surprised if the plea deal goes forward today, that it would seem to me that the judge would want to know more details about this incident than before she makes a decision on whether or not to accept the agreement between the government and Hunter Biden. Because the government, so people know how that works, even when the parties agree, it doesn't become effective until a judge approves the agreement.
Right. Well, their law firm's clerk is saying, "Oh, I never said that. I was misunderstood. I'm certain that I never implied what they're claiming that I may have been misinterpreted as having said." It's typical.
And there can't be any real misinterpretation, because if somebody wants to see, maybe they will. If she said, "Oh no, I called because I wanted to see the document is available online. Once it's filed, you can
request to pull the document so that it wouldn't be available, so that the judge won't see it. That was what she asked for, and that's why it triggered the response from the clerk that it did, because the clerk then had a responsibility to go to her superior and say, "Hey, we're being asked to pull this," and they were like, "Well, you need to verify that." So they called the law firm to verify it, and the law firm said, "No, we never asked for that, ever. Never happened." There's one other one, and then, but we're out of time. But that is the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware is being called into question because they're being accused of hiding a Biden bribery allegation, $10 million. And yes, we'll get into that next time. All right, we're out of time. Melanie Collette joins me coming up next here on Chosen Generation Radio. Crashes and busts and bubbles right after this brief break.
And okay.
All right.